Law enforcement agencies across the country have policies protecting people of color from being racially profiled. But studies have shown Black and Latino drivers are searched at more than twice the rate of white drivers. Black women are three times as likely as white women to be imprisoned. And according to the Bureau of Justice statistics, one in three African American men can expect to spend some time in prison. Many people of color have experienced the discrepancy between official policy and reality. But as KALW's Kyungjin Lee reports, it may not be something officers can actually control.
In March 2010, Quizon Malouf was driving his Cadillac XLR to his Castro Valley home. The managing attorney in San Francisco's Public Defender's Felony Unit was stopped at a red light when an Alameda County Sheriff's deputy drove past him, made a U-turn, then turned on his lights.
After I was pulled over, the officer approached my car, and the first thing he said is, "What did you just yell at me?" And I thought, you gotta be joking.
Malouf pulled out his cell phone to record the interaction. He told the deputy that his driver's license was in the trunk, but did not permit the deputy to retrieve it. Backup arrived. They cuffed Malouf and escorted him to the back of a cruiser. Without consent, the deputy searched for and found Malouf's license, at which point he was released without any charges. Malouf believes he was the victim of racial profiling.
Although it was around 10 p.m. at night, you can clearly see who I am. There was no reason whatsoever to pull me over. And I think it was a ruse to say he heard a loud voice. There was no loud voice. And I believe I was pulled over because I was Black driving an expensive car.
UC Berkeley social psychologist Jack Glaser says stereotyping is a normal human behavior.
There are predominant stereotypes of Blacks and Latinos as being prone to particular kinds of crimes. There are predominant stereotypes of Muslims and Arabs being prone to terrorism, and of Latinos being prone to immigration violations. And so these are all things that are in our minds. They're in everybody's minds, whether you endorse them or not.
Glaser says even if officers consciously consider their preconceptions,
it will probably not affect their implicit or non-conscious stereotypes, which are the ones that are operating in the field when they're trying to make a quick judgment about that guy who's moving, who's turning the corner, or who's standing furtively or appears to be, and they're trying to figure out what he's really up to. And so what looks like suspicion to you that's valid might be influenced by racial stereotypes.
Quizon Malouf filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the Alameda County Sheriff's Office.
I want the police to know that when they do make a mistake, they should be accountable for their mistakes.
One of the things he's seeking is police training on race sensitivity. Alameda County Sheriff Greg Ahern says he can't respond to the specific case because it's in litigation.
But in cases where people believe they're stopped because of their skin color, could possibly be their belief. But that doesn't mean that's the reason the deputy or law enforcement professional took that specific action.
Ahern says his deputies already undergo an average of 19 hours of training on cultural awareness. The department has policies against bias-based profiling. It collects statistical data on the race, gender, and age of everyone stopped. And the Internal Affairs Division investigates every complaint. Since 2005, the Sheriff's Office has received 32 complaints based on race, but only found 3 cases involved improper actions by deputies.
Hey, can you write your window down? You got a driver's license?
On a Saturday night, I go for a ride with Alameda County Deputy Ramsey Jackson. As we drive through Hayward, he decides to stop a red Cadillac with an unlatched trunk.
That's kind of weird. He's got a covered license plate. He's got stuff hanging from his roof. So those are all vehicle code violations. So you stop, you start talking to the person, and then you develop different things. And you realize, oh, okay, gang member. Now that alone doesn't necessitate us to talk to him. But definitely if you're in the community and you're participating in the community, you go, well, I wonder what these guys are doing.
Deputy Jackson learns the young Latino driver is on probation. Jackson pats him down and searches the car while his backup frisks the 16-year-old passenger. They find nothing and let them go without issuing a ticket. The stop takes about 20 minutes. As we drive away, we talk about the issue of race in policing.
He's Hispanic, she's Hispanic. I don't have anything to do with why we're stopping him or that we're stopping him. But you realize it's Hayward. A lot of Hispanic people live in Hayward, so I'm going to pull over a lot of Hispanic people just by virtue of the people that are here.
Ron Davis has been wrestling with this problem in East Palo Alto, where he's police chief.
Where I guess it gets confusing for officers is that they look at it from a legal point of view, the person actually had expired registration. But did you realize that the majority of people that you stop for these violations, what we call very high discretionary stops, are of color? And that they're then pretexted to get to searches.
Davis's concerns were shaped in part from an incident he and his wife experienced in 1996 while driving their Mercedes-Benz on an L.A. freeway.
When they looked at the car, their reactions in their face, they then jumped on their motorcycles, pulled behind us and stopped us. And I just felt to them was, why are these two, you know, African-Americans inside this nice car? I felt that it was, you know, everything after that was negative. But I felt like I was profiled, so it stood out for me in that case.
It also prompted Davis to think about his own career as a cop, and he realized he had also engaged in racial profiling.
But I knew that it wasn't based on racism. I knew it wasn't based on malicious intent, that it was probably more based on stereotypes, my own implicit bias.
Davis took over as police chief in 2005. East Palo Alto had the second highest per capita murder rate in California and the fifth highest rate in the U.S. He responded by developing guides on accurate data collection and analysis. And he worked to build trust between police and the community they serve.
One of the things that was very important for me, and I think is very important in departments, is rotating throughout the department and increasing the opportunities for the officers to engage in the community in a non-enforcement capacity.
He also increased cultural competence trainings, organized community forums, and implemented a parole reentry program.
One of the officers who worked it told me that it changed his view with regards to how he thought about parolees, and it clearly changed the view of the parolees that now saw this officer as actually trying to help.
Statistically, his methods worked. The city's recidivism rate dropped from more than 60% to less than 20% within 3 years. By 2011, murders fell almost 50% compared to 2005. And he thinks his officers understand how to avoid stereotyping. This spring, Davis took his experiences both as policeman and activist to Washington to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about racial profiling.
And even though I'm a police chief with over 27 years experience, I know that when I teach my son Glenn how to drive, I must also teach him what to do when stopped by the police. A mandatory course, by the way, for young men of color in this country.
He also advocated for the passage of the End Racial Profiling Act of 2011, which was introduced by the Senate last year. If passed, a standardized definition of racial profiling would emerge nationally, and law enforcement agencies would have to collect data and provide sensitivity training or risk losing federal funding. Currently, the definition varies from state to state, department to department.
I also fear that without this legislation, we will continue business as usual and only respond to issues when they surface through high-profile tragedies, such as the Oscar Grant case in Oakland and the Trayvon Martin case in Florida.
Attorney Quizon Malouf still feels violated about how he was treated by the Alameda County Sheriff's Department. But one thing he and the sheriff agree on is the need to report these kinds of incidents.
I think what we need to do as a people, no matter what race you are, if you believe the police made a mistake or did something wrong, whether intentionally or not, you must file a complaint with the Office of Citizen Complaint. You must file a complaint with their internal affairs. You must do something about it.
Federal legislation may help standardize policies and enforcement, but social psychologist Jack Glaser says profiling is an issue that is not ever likely to go away.
There's going to be racial profiling as long as there are stereotypes about race and crime and there's law enforcement. And there has been for as long as there have been, and there will be going into the future. It's just a matter of squeezing it down as much as we can through interventions and through awareness.
For Cross Currents, I'm Kyungjin Lee.